Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-Roll Football Show live for day two from Radio Row at Super Bowl LV3. I can never remember. Super Bowl 58, I believe, in American English. I am Patrick Daugherty, of course, joined by Mr. Denny Carter and a very special guest today. You may know him as @whale_capper on Twitter. We know him as Drew Densick. He's an NFL, NBA, and tennis expert for NBC Sports. You can catch him every day on Bet the Edge with Mr. Jay Croucher on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. We're going to pick Drew's brain on Super Bowl 58 from a betting perspective. We're going to, frankly, try to recreate a very lengthy argument we had at dinner last night.
It was lengthy. I listened to the whole thing.
It was very, very lengthy. I don't know if I remember every contour of it, but we're going to get into what I think is the defining question of the Super Bowl. We talked about it with ESPN's Kevin Clark on Monday. Is this a narrative-based Super Bowl, or is this a numbers-based Super Bowl? Every Super Bowl, of course, is both of those things to some regard. But this year, you know, the numbers say the 49ers are the favorite. Not, some people say the prohibitive favorite. Drew was kind of dabbling into that. The narrative is saying, it's Patrick Mahomes. Not going to lose to Brock Purdy. And so we're going to try to examine that from every angle, and we'll just get into that right off the top, Drew, is why are the bettors all in on the 49ers? Lay out this argument.
Sure.
From analytical betting perspective, where what is it today? Is it 2 points, -2 for the 49ers? And you were saying that if, like, the public had pushed it to pick them, it would be considered, like, the bet of a lifetime by the betting community on the 49ers. Why does the betting community view this so differently than the fans do?
It's a, it's a fair question, and it's to have full conviction that Mahomes is, you know, so much better than the next best quarterback in the NFL and can elevate his game and elevate this cast of characters that he's characters. That he's playing with, the outside of Travis Kelce, obviously, there's a loss aversion. Mm-hmm. Part of this, right? If you're going to the window and you're making a bet, like, you don't want to do something that makes you feel stupid, right? You don't want to wake up on Monday and be like, why in the world did I fade the guy that who has done it against all odds now? He's won as a dog 2 weeks in a row. Last week, I was sure the Ravens were going to win. No, he did it again. You know, right. Like, a guy who's already in his fourth Super Bowl in just 7 years in the league, chance to win his third. Like, it does feel a little inevitable. I don't think anyone that bets Mahomes this weekend is going to wake up on Monday and be like, man, I feel stupid. Right? They're going to wake up and they're going to say, you know what? I'll go to war with him next year. Yeah. Because over the balance of your lifetime doing this, if you only just bet Mahomes as a dog in the playoffs, you're doing quite well.
Absolutely.
So I think ultimately, like, there's a safety and kind of a comfortableness with a lot of the public, players for this market that just, they want to be on the side of Mahomes. They want to be on the winning side. And I can tell you that the case for the Niners is definitely more analytical. Mm-hmm. It's more based on this team that they have on, and the statistical profile that they put together over the balance of the season.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you hold up what the Chiefs have done offensively this season,
It's not great. No. I mean, all of their advanced stats are very middling.
Until the playoffs, where he's gone nuclear mega EPA mode.
I mean, it's better, but it's not like old Mahomes. It's game manager Mahomes. That's what I'm
going to
keep saying.
This is the worst thing you've been workshopping.
I'm going to keep going with game manager Mahomes. So I actually, going into this game, on Sunday, I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to look at the numbers to make sure that I'm right in that the 49ers offense cannot succeed against this Kansas City defense. They just can't. So I looked at the numbers, and folks, the opposite is true. Because here's the thing. Everything that Kansas City does well on defense, Brock Purdy and the Niners counter it well. Some examples. Kansas City defense had a 38% pressure rate during the regular season. That's the sixth best in the league. Well, Brock Purdy had the second highest yards per attempt against pressure and the third best completion rate against pressure. Only 13%, stick with me here, this is a little in the weeds, but only 13% of the pressures against Brock Purdy this season turned into sacks. That's the third lowest rate among 36 qualifying quarterbacks. So he's good against pressure. They know how to counter pressure. And while Purdy has struggled against top secondaries, I do think that they have what it takes to get over on this defense, including, I know we're going to get into this, including an elite rushing game against a pretty bad rush defense.
Yeah, no, and I honestly, that's where it starts, and that's how you carry into Purdy finding success. The answers for the test are pretty clear for Shanahan, right? Make the Chiefs prove that they can stop the run without exposing their secondary. And, you know, it's pretty well trodden. You know, the Chiefs, one of the, I think maybe the second worst defense in the league in defending the zone run. I don't know if you know this, but San Francisco 49ers are like historically good at the zone run.
Yeah.
What that could and should set up is early down runs for the Niners that are successful, that create short second downs for Brock Purdy, opportunities to lean into play action, which is a Kyle Shanahan staple.
Yeah.
And honestly, just a little bit of a soft landing for an offense that is extremely talented in every facet of the game. And so I think ultimately, if you're asking me, like, okay, which of these offenses has a easier test out of the gate, it is clearly the Niners. And that then leads into, okay, well, if you are going into this game as the Niners and you have high confidence in your offense scoring points, that gives you a little bit of latitude to be a little bit aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, right? And I think what I would expect, and I don't know if this came up last night when we were discussing this or if this is a newly formulated opinion. I'm at the stage now where I bet the Niners. I'm talking myself into it more and more and more and more, right? So my case is growing. My case is growing here. The defense, I think, has the opportunity to come in with a pretty aggressive game plan where they can stack the box and they can count on Charvarius Ward shutting down half of the field. And they can say, hey, Mahomes, we know that you made your career off of the home run throw, but now do it with your wide receiver 2, 3, and 4. Go do it with Justin Watson and Richie James.
Right.
Go do it with Marquez Valdes-Scantling consistently. Because I'm with you. I think Mahomes is very much in his game manager phase. And that's like, that's just the way the league has evolved.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. The league absorbed Mahomes, the home run hitter, and said, well, we're not going to win. We can't hit as many home runs because we don't have Mahomes, so we must take that away. And that's going to force him into matriculating the ball down the field. By the way, I'm going for a record of saying the word matriculating the most of anyone this week. I know a lot of people are saying matriculating, but I'm going to try to set the bar.
I love matriculating. It's
and
a good word.
He's been forced into matriculate, and he has become outstanding at it.
Yeah.
But I think if you are telling, you know, this Chiefs, you know, if you get a little bit aggressive with the blitz, if you load the box to stop the run, if you're the Niners defense, eventually you're going to get a chaotic play where Nick Bosa is running amok and, you know, gets a clean shot on Mahomes, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling drops a key pass, or you create a fumble because, you know, the fifth option has the ball in his hands at a worst possible time for the Chiefs. So, you know, I think there's a lot more fragility with the Chiefs offense in this one than there is with the Niners, surely. And I think the Niners are a front-running bully kind of a team
where
if this turns into a positive game state for them, like, look, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not ever – I don't know what the point differential has to be for me to be like, Mahomes ain't coming back from this, right? Like, it's going to have to be big. It's going to have to be a big number, right, for me to be like, okay, we can just kind of move on with our day, right? But
– at dinner last night, you were referencing, of course, the last time the Chiefs went down, I believe, 24-0 to the Texans in the divisional round.
That was before game manager Mahomes.
So first off, game manager Mahomes is a good thing. It's like you're saying, the way to have success right now is to be boring.
That's right.
Well, Josh Allen is willing to be boring for like two quarters, and he's like, so he gives up on it.
Yes, absolutely.
And then he gets strip sacked immediately inside the 20-yard line. So I think that's a point in Mahomes' favor right now.
It is.
One thing I keep coming back to with the Chiefs, I was trying to find a stat almost the entire time you guys were talking.
But, I saw you grinding over
with
there.
With the Chiefs and their run defense, first, it's not like the Chiefs have like an actively terrible run defense. Because the Chiefs, as a whole, have probably the best defense in the NFL. They didn't allow more than 28 points all season. Yeah. They've actually set the record this year for the most games allowing 28 points or fewer, surpassing the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
An extra game, of course, helps. They had that extra wild card game.
That's insane, though.
So it's an amazingly well-rounded defense. What I keep coming back to with the Chiefs' run defense, like, this is definitely like projection, maybe wish casting.
Yeah,
a little
bit. Let's hear your wish casting.
As I was dabbling at a dinner last night, I think the Chiefs, they just don't care if you get the rushing stats.
Sure.
They give you the run. And I almost think you're almost falling into a trap.
Right.
The 49ers, yeah, all the numbers say we got to just run CMC nonstop.
Right.
And the Chiefs, yeah, fine. Yeah, I don't care.
Because
like you could do that for two or three drives. Say you get 10 points out of three drives running the ball. Okay, great. 10 points against Mahomes is nothing. And then, so the 49ers, they've been running. But then they get put in a position where they have to pass. And they can't. Well, they can do it, of course. The Brock Purdy against the blitz, though.
It's not what they want to do.
No.
It's not ever what Shanahan wants to do. I will say.
Would you say the Chiefs, though, want? I would venture the Chiefs want the 49ers to run. We want the 49ers to run. I think the Chiefs want the 49ers.
I think
to run.
You're right, but I think that could be a tremendous mistake on KC's part because
just to give you
an idea, Drew mentioned how good the Niners are on early downs, particularly first down. So just give folks an idea, the 49ers are the only team in the NFL this season with a positive rush EPA on first down. Okay, the only one, and it's by far, far and away. In fact, it's so high, it's higher than 27 teams' pass EPA on first down. So if you're going to give somebody the run, I feel like the Niners are not the team to give the run to.
That's true.
Because they will. I mean, this could be, honestly, with the right game script,
sure.
This could be a 200-yard game for McCaffrey.
Yeah,
it could be something like that.
I feel like there's literally no way.
So there's merit to what you're saying, which is that the Chiefs' defense is structured to give up the run. I agree with that. I don't know if they're doing it by, you know, entirely out of goodwill, or if it's a little of like, well, we don't have a jumbo package, we don't have big bodies.
Not everything can be a strength.
Yeah, and not everything can be a strength. But they do have a ton of confidence in their secondary players making tackles, for good reason. Those guys are awesome. Like, their secondary can absolutely kind of prevent explosive runs, which should kind of make things it's going to make things a little bit tougher for the Niners, right? Like, are we going to see a 20-30 yard rip? Tough to say, right? But if you're consistently giving Brock Purdy short yardage to convert second and third downs in this game, and Shanahan's in his bag with some of the kind of exotic pass, you know, some of the exotic formations, some of the exotic pre-snap motions, really confusing things, you know, in the early going there, creating space for his wide receivers, and then utilizing play action. I think you can absolutely expect high efficiency, which is kind of the calling card of the Brock Purdy offense. And so, even though this is by far their toughest test, they're going up against this, the most outstanding secondary they faced all season, probably. I still think that
just seems like a
I feel keys, like they have the keys.
I feel like that seems like a bigger problem for the 49ers, Brock Purdy against the secondary, than like a positive. I think Purdy against the secondary is a bigger problem than McCaffrey against this run defense is a positive, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
can
sure.
You follow that logic?
If you're measuring the two
against each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess here's the other thing. Congratulations to the Chiefs secondary for holding Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. down. Like, you know, good, well done. The shadow of Stefon Diggs and Shakir. Like, well done.
They didn't even stop Shakir.
Yeah, they didn't even stop Shakir.
You guys ever heard of this guy named Tyreek Hill? It was a revenge game.
He was 100% healthy. He definitely wasn't in a walking boot 5 minutes before that game started and 5 minutes after it ended. This is a true test, right? You know, I personally would put a line through Brandon Ayuk for MVP, for yardage, for all of that, because, like, honestly, the expectation is Sneed follows him around the field, and Sneed is freaking amazing. Like, Brandon Ayuk, despite being one of the greatest separators in the NFL, and despite having incredible point of attack, you know, point of catch, skill set, he's still going to be very tough for Purdy to identify opportunities to get to him because of how good Sneed is. So I think you're going to have to get it done with some of your alternative weapons there.
Exactly. You're making the very good point that they haven't exactly been facing murderer's row at receiver in the playoffs. But Denny and I have been grinding the Sumer Sports breakdown of the Super Bowl.
Really good.
And made the point that I have seen on Twitter, the Chiefs all year, like, put a lid on number one receivers.
Sure.
And this is, like, the most daunting challenge Brandon Ayuk will face all year, which, to me, it makes Debo, like, feel like the X factor for this game. Both from maybe being the change of pace runner for Christian McCaffrey and being the guy against the Chiefs zone. Not the Chiefs playing a lot of man, but like if they get any zone looks, like Debo's going to have to rip those, take advantage of that. And Debo feels like, I mean, a huge surprise, I'm saying one of the best players in the 49ers is an X factor. It feels like maybe the X factor for me. More than CMC, more than Ayuk. I don't think the 49ers can win without, maybe not like a vintage Debo game, but they can't have like the Debo game where he's like in and out of the blue tent.
Sure.
And like he's one of the most very critical players in this game.
I would think that there's a universe where CMC goes for over 100 and Debo approaches 100 yards on the ground because they're going to hammer the run here. There's just no two ways about it. Yeah. Because listen, they're not Todd Monken. It's not Todd Monken.
Shanny's not Todd Monken.
No.
Shanny's the most tilted coach in
Monken
the NFL. Monken
didn't want to be told what to do, so they were going to drop back and sling it. Okay. And Shanahan loves establishing it. We know this. It actually drives us, as fantasy managers, it often drives us insane.
It's true.
Because we want George Kittle to score more touchdowns. We want him to get more targets. We want Debo to get more targets. And it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, okay? even at deficit last week against the Lions. They're still plugging away.
They did they did the opposite of the Ravens. Yeah. They kept plugging away. They stuck with it.
And they're good on the ground. Like I know I'm not breaking news, the Niners are good on the ground, but it's not that they're good, it's they're otherworldly compared to every other team in the league. And it doesn't and now they're facing a subpar rush defense. They're not facing a world beater.
Hold on, the Chiefs,
they're subpar.
The Chiefs run defense thing is getting really overplayed. They weren't like an elite run defense. They were not like a run defense allowing 150 yards a game, like 5 yards per carry. I think they were the boomer stats, I think it was like 4.5 yards per carry. It was over 100 rushing yards a game. But they weren't like, first off, it was hard to run against. Even this year, the Chiefs were usually in the lead, even though they finished 10-7, 11-6, or whatever.
Sure.
So you're not getting to run a ton against them.
Yes.
It is the weakness of their defense. I wouldn't say it's like this glaring weakness
think it's glaring.
That it's getting made
out. I think it's glaring. You saw what the Raiders did against them on Christmas Day. They hammered them.
Actually, I didn't see it. I didn't even watch
that. Well, they
probably have a different feeling.
The Raiders weren't even pretending to pass the ball.
They
weren't even pretending. They were like, we're gonna hand it off. We're going to get 7 yards.
That was the final game. That was their final game of Golden State Warriors mode where they were messing around. They didn't even care. I'm dead serious. Listen, Christmas Day, noon Central on Christmas Day. Who cares?
Just like the Niners, the Chiefs have pass rushers who are not interested in stopping the run.
Correct.
That's not what they're there for. Okay, they're going to stand up and they're going to say, go ahead. I'm going to save my energy to get that sack."
Yeah, they're also beat up.
They are beat up.
There's some key players that have missed time and will not be available for this game for their run defense, which I think you have to downgrade that unit, if not manually, just at a player level as you're constructing a fare for this. And then the intangibles about the Niners, which I think are important to because again, like I know that there's plenty of scope for Pat Mahomes to go win a third Super Bowl. Like, don't get me wrong, don't take this as like this is a done deal in any way, shape, or form.
That's what I heard.
But all the intangibles, I think, check the box of the Niners ahead, in their matchups against the Chiefs. And you look at the injury to Joe Thuney, which really was not exposed much against the Ravens.
It's not good.
Now you have Hargrave and Armstead with 2 weeks to get right.
And as Jay Crowder was saying at dinner, 2 weeks to get like pain killing injections.
Sure. Like those guys will be. We're talking Monstars out there, no question. And you have positive matchups on the interior for pass rush. You can get quick pressure on Mahomes. You can force him out of the pocket, presumably into the arms of Chase Young or Nick Bosa. And so I think there's kind of good synergy on that defensive line matching up against this Chiefs offensive line. I would just like to see this a clean game, right? Like if there's holding, we should acknowledge it and call it, right? Like, I don't want to see Taylor and and Smith getting away with holds on every obvious passing down like they have for much of the season. The pass rush and the front four for the Niners should be able to generate pretty aggressive pressure in must-pass situations, which, you know, really kind of like if it is a two-score deficit at any point in time, like the last Super Bowl between these two teams where it was, you know, 10 points heading into the closing stages, like the pass rush should be more effective this time because of the weaknesses of the offensive line of the Chiefs and because of the ability for the Niners to just continue to beat them up on the ground.
To belabor this point, but also try to put like a bow on it.
Sure.
I just still think, so the run game in general we know is less efficient than the passing game. And sometimes the run game can become like the classic, like what do you even win when you win? Like if you told me the 49ers had 160 yards rushing and still lost the game, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, great. Their running game was amazing. And then they faced Patrick Mahomes and scored fewer points because that was Patrick Mahomes and he was passing the ball all over the yard and more efficiently and more explosively moving the ball. The 49ers, of course, can do that also in the passing
game. More than him?
I think the run game thing is getting, it's an X factor. But I think it's getting a little overhyped down here at the Super Bowl radio room.
We just talked about how the 49ers are a front-running team, and that's true because obviously they scramble and they don't know what to do when they're down by more than 5-6 points, whatever it is. I know they just made a tremendous comeback in the NFC title game, so ignore that. But
recent history aside.
But are we sure that the Mahomes Chiefs, as currently constructed, are not also a front-running team? Are they constructed in a way that would allow them to come back? Say they go down 17-0 in this game. Can they come back from that? Can they dink and dunk their way to 17 points? I don't know.
I'm remembering a lot of games this year where they, in comeback mode, desperately needed a playmaker to make a play, and it did not happen.
It did not happen. It really did not. Yeah. And that is, it's a small sample size. The small sample size does coincide with them finally not messing around anymore, narrowing the target tree, whatever. We're not getting the ball to like Richie James or Justin Watson anymore. It's the three best players, but it's a very small sample size.
And in the Baltimore game, Pacheco, Kelsey, and Rashee Rice combined for 70% of the targets. So they are in let's get it to the good guys mode. You know,
I'm
going to
ask Drew a follow-up right after this. Won another sweat during Super Bowl week. Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick have you covered with a special edition of Bet the Edge on Thursday evening.
Hey, that's us.
Join the guys on our NFL on NBC YouTube page at 9 p.m. Eastern for an NFL Awards watch-along and find out how they feel about the winners for Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and much, much more.
That is gonna be awesome.
Hearing you guys talk about that stuff, it is like hearing like a foreign language in the best possible way. It's like, man, I didn't know you.
We had
like
a banner year over the balance of the season. Really? Like, we high pointed Lamar MVP. We high pointed Myles Garrett. That one was the weirdest one of all. That's my biggest sweat on of the night is DPOY.
It should be Myles Garrett.
Who else
it
could
should
it be?
Be Myles Garrett.
T.J. Watt.
Really?
You led this leading sacks, and sometimes the voters are that reductive.
That would be very
I think it's going to be Miles.
I really hope so.
I think it'd
really
be like a lifetime achievement award for Miles, too. He deserves it on the merit this year.
No doubt.
But he also needs like a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, no doubt.
Deploy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
But so, Drew, you're confident, again, you are allowing Mahomes could happen.
Of course.
But we've established you're very confident about the 49ers. Tell us, how confident are you about the 49ers in the lens of, like, what kind of a alt lines you be into? And Denny, someone explain what alt lines are to people who don't know, sort of me.
Yeah.
And how confident are you, Drew? You can just begin.
I was going to ask Drew, can you properly define an alt line for the folks?
Sure. So the spread and total are very robust markets. There is probably somewhere in the ballpark of $100 million of worldwide liquidity informing that price, right? what is somewhat independent of that is, well, what about like if the game is a blowout in either direction,
right?
Well, what happens then? And the typical process for pricing those markets is to take two-point spread, 47.5-point total. This is what the distribution of outcomes looks like, right? And it's divorced entirely from what we're talking about.
Right.
The matchups, the ability to front run, the ability to come back. Like, it's entirely segregated from what we think we know about these teams. And so that does open up opportunities where if you're like, okay, well, my fare, and this is true, my fare for the Super Bowl is San Francisco 49ers should be 3-point favorites. They are 2-point favorites. That's not very much. It's a key number, but it's not a lot, right? That said, I think there is absolutely scope here where this is a game state much more like Niners-Cowboys, right? Or Niners-Eagles, right? Where if you have...
Patty Mahomes is not allowing that.
If you have as clear an advantage out of the gate as the Niners do in this one, and if you are having early success and you have a matchup with your pass rush against an offensive line that is... somewhat of a question mark. I think that does open up scope for one-way traffic Niners here, where this turns into a game state and a game where you have a bigger margin than three, right? And so if you're, if my distribution is lopsided, if it has a fat tail where there's 15% of my population of simulated game outcomes is two touchdowns or more, right? Then, if I think that it has something like a 20 to 15% range, but the market is giving me 4-to-1 or better type of price, then that's a more fun way to bet. And actually,
more profitable.
Like, it's more profitable. So I could sit here and stare at a market that I know is pretty efficient and say my 1-point edge on the main side, I could put all of my liquidity into that,
or
I can spread it out across
that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's just informing me which side I know, I'm going to try to attack.
Right.
And then for me, at least, the shape of the distribution says there is a fat tail where the Niners front four has success, where the Niners can play with the lead, and where they can put a little bit of a space between themselves and the Chiefs. Because honestly, the Niners are a relatively complete team. They're the more talented team, in my opinion. And I think that,
without question,
we're looking past a lot of the Chiefs' flaws because Mahomes has gotten them to this point. And this Mahomes-led Chiefs offense is, they're not as flawed as the team that got their bell rung by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Surely that was like a truly broken offensive line. And I missed that. Like, I really, strongly regret
that. I think everyone missed that.
Yeah, honestly. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. And especially because, I didn't have a... I wasn't, wowed by the pass rush for the Bucs, but they were so overwhelming that it was just a non-compete. And I don't think we were talking about that level of game state, but I do think that you can hold the Niners' talent on the D-line up high enough, and you can hold their talent in the running game high enough that there's scope for this game to be... a little bit of a snoozer where the Niners finally get the crown and it's not competitive.
Danny, you have a thought?
Yeah, so with an alt line, could you even stretch it the other way where you could get you can get points for the Niners
in
this game?
Oh, for sure.
Obviously, you're sacrificing.
For sure. You're laying a price.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So basically, if you wanted to lay 400 to win 100, you can get, actually, that the other way is also mispriced, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you wanted Niners plus 3.5.
Sure.
Right? You're like, I've spent a week talking about this game, thinking about these teams.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that this is going to be a close competitive game. Like, this is going to be 3 points either way. Give me Niners plus 3.5.
Sure.
You can get that for in the ballpark of minus 200. So you lay 200 to win 100.
I see.
That's not crazy.
Yeah.
That's really not.
I feel very comfortable with it.
Yes.
I think giving the Niners points.
Because, going back to having simulated this game and having a distribution of outcomes, most likely outcome is the Niners win by 3 for me. Second most likely outcome is the Chiefs win by 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. I the way you've talked about this at dinner last night and on the show.
It's shaking my faith.
Listen, it is. It has converted me.
Well,
almost a religious experience. I'm 4 Niners by 3 touchdowns.
Well, okay.
For me at this point.
So I've been regathering my Chiefs forces over here. And I do agree that if there were to be a blowout, it would probably be more likely to be a 49ers blowout win.
Yeah.
I don't think a Chiefs blowout is entirely off the table. So we're talking a lot about the Chiefs' weaknesses. What about a 49ers defense? It didn't quite fall apart, but it was high key struggling in a lot of really critical moments down the stretch in the playoffs. They've come out really flat somehow 2 weeks in a row. But Drew made a really interesting point we'll have to get to about them coming out flat. What would a Chiefs blowout win look like? Is that within the range of outcomes even? Do you even consider that within the range of outcomes
For sure.
For this game?
I'm old enough to remember Christmas Day.
That was ugly.
He's not referencing the Chiefs game. He's referencing, the 49ers.
The 49ers, four-pick performance by Brock Purdy. We were, again, kind of referencing our conversations over the days here, but... a lot of regular season handicapping is just, it's boring. It's numbers. It's crunch the numbers, come up with a fair, bet the edge. Like, that's it. When you get to the playoffs, there is some witchcraft involved, right? There is some voodoo involved. There is some, and there is something to be said about the fact that Mahomes has been on this stage and performed well so many times, and that degree of experience is tough to, it's tough to quantify. You can think back to Rams Patriots, remember that Super Bowl that was just an absolute snooze fest?
3 points,
13-3. I was strong Brady and Belichick in that Super Bowl because I was like, man, you're gonna give Belichick 2 weeks to solve Jared Goff? Like, he's gonna solve him. Like, this isn't that tough to envision a guy who's not been on the stage against a team that has been there six times. Like, this is unfair.
Yeah.
But the Sharp community was very, very pro Rams that day because that team was better in every single way. Like, they had Hall of Famers on both sides of the line, and it was literally Brady Belichick, and the MVP was freaking,
MVP?
It was Julian Edelman.
Edelman
got the MVP for catching like ten targets, eight catches or something.
A master bettor's key talents is being able to remember like every award winner. Like, it just drew. Who was the 1992 NFL Coach of the Year?
And, 82. 82?
92.
Oh, 92.
Marv Levy, probably.
No, yeah, it was Schottenheimer. Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know. Okay. I mean, he was a Coach of the Year twice, I think. Once with the Chargers and once with the Spurs.
A point you made. I love how you're so analytically based. You have to be. You lose money. If you weren't, you'd be horrible at gambling and betting.
Sure.
If you were all emotion and heart. But you made, an interesting emotion point about the 49ers last night. The Chiefs are playing their best football in the biggest games of the year.
Yeah, except for the last half.
It's true. The Chiefs going to shut down on the second. The 49ers, they're here in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
They were not impressive in the divisional or championship game. Inferior Packers and Lions teams. They like get out to big multi-score leads. But you made the point that they had, like, when a team, like, kind of like stares like death in the eye like that, they have their rat, like Yannick Sinner, he's up two sets to love on Novak Djokovic. He gets broken in the third, and like Novak could have avalanched him, but Sinner in the semifinals of the Australian Open, he rallied. He didn't go down at the moment where he should have crumbled. The 49ers did not do that the past. That was a point that kind of shook me a little bit. Like, the 49ers have already had like their worst possible game scripts and still survived to win.
They played like garbage last week.
Yeah. A lot of examples of this across all sports.
Really in tennis, especially.
I do think that there is something to be said about teams rallying in the locker room around nobody believes in us. Right? Like, that happens.
The Chiefs have the Chiefs are like hardcore into the nobody
believes
in us.
I'm sure. Yeah. Us who are defending the Super Bowl, no one believes we can do it.
75% of the betting public believes you can do it. 75%.
Right. No, those rallying cries are real. Like, you're getting these players motivated to go put themselves through, physical war. There's weird things that help elevate you in the moment. And the fact that the Niners have faced death and survived, I think, could potentially let them play a little bit more carefree, right? Like, there's definitely, there is a little bit of whatever Kyle Shanahan said in the locker room at halftime, as you're down 17 points at home, you're just getting dump trucked. Like, the defense was getting embarrassed,
and you came in as a heavy favorite.
Coming as a heavy, seven and a half. Your players' families are already booking Vegas trips. Yes, they're like, everybody's like ready to go. This is happening. We are going to
and
the
Shanahan
Super Bowl.
Said, I've already bought the tickets, guys. Yeah. You're going to have to win.
Yeah.
I'll say there's an entire block of Lions players' families on my floor here at Mandalay Bay because they thought they were going to win in the first half.
They keep crying.
They kept their tickets.
Oh, yikes. There certainly was something said in that locker room that got those men to perform much more coherently in the second half. Yeah, did they get lucky? Yes, of course. Like, the guy caught a pass off face mask, for crying out loud. Like that was extremely weird.
Would have been nice if he caught that.
But ultimately, the fact that, like, you know, they were able to rally from those lows instead of just capitulating, tells you something about the mettle of that team. And I think that, you know, the playing a little bit looser, playing with the lead now after, you know, kind of running downhill, I was actually pretty convinced they were going to cover that game after they tied it so quickly. I was like, oh, they might win by double digits.
Oh,
like this,
really?
Like this is they are running downhill with so much velocity right now. Like they you could see they're all looking. Everybody's happy on the sideline. Everybody's like fired
there,
up. Like,
there was a vibe shift.
Yes, that was like you could like that was probably their happiest moment of the season.
Yes.
Right. Oh. Like running downhill in the second half. Like who's to say you can't carry that momentum into this game?
You just said it. I was going to congratulate you guys on having a conversation about football without saying momentum, and then Drew. Had to ruin it at the very end.
Nobody believes in the
emotional momentum. Yes.
Nobody believes in the Chiefs. Nobody believes that we are going to take this break. We'll be right back after this. Join the party on the PGA Tour at TPC Scottsdale this week as Scottie Scheffler goes for his third straight title at the WM Phoenix Open. Check out all the big drives, hole outs, and rowdy fans on the 17th green on NBC, Golf Channel, as well as Peacock, where you can stream the entire tournament.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's just so many threads that I want to follow in these conversations. I'll stick with the Chiefs. Now, Drew, what do you think of the idea? So, you know, the whole narrative is this complete 49ers team and then the Chiefs. They're one player in Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
What do you think of the narrative that if the Chiefs win, there's literally no way Patrick Mahomes does not win Super Bowl MVP? Because I feel like this is like just a foregone conclusion that if the Chiefs win, Patrick Mahomes will be the MVP. I'm sure that's faulty thinking. And
yeah.
Take us through this.
Yeah, I think I was there last year for sure. I was beating the drum, you know. If you like the Chiefs, just bet Mahomes MVP. Like, it's an even better bet by proxy. Having won now multiple awards and the fact that there's a new wrinkle in the MVP voting this year.
What's
is
that?
It really?
20% of the vote will be made up by the fans.
Oh, no.
Stop it.
Which means there's a Swiftie angle here for Travis Kelce if the Chiefs win.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The Swift Army is going to
there
flip.
There could be a little bit of a there could be a pretty clear...
Troubling.
And
concerning.
There could be a lopsided public vote.
Oh,
now, it's only 20%, right?
But it's 20%. Yeah. I mean, you have 18 million people who are going to vote for Travis
Kelce. Like, three catches, 18 yards, one touchdown.
Just on nine
just
targets.
Put me in the mind of a writer on deadline in the third quarter of this game. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, I just want somebody to click my article and read it tomorrow. Like, you know what? I'm going to vote for Kelce. And I'm going to write my article about it, and I'm going to get a bunch of people to click my article, and they're going to read about it. Like there's... There's absolutely scope for Kelce to steal this. I think if the Chiefs are successful, it's largely because Kelce contributes to the tune of 10 catches for 100 plus yards and a touchdown. The fact that Cooper Kupp snagged, you know, the award from Stafford a couple years ago with like that type of stat line, I think tells you that they're, you know, people are open to the idea of if a skill position player really does show out to that degree that they're live to steal the award. So, you know, I think Mahomes right now probably makes up something like 85 or 90% of the equity for MVP.
And it's
it should probably be closer to 75-80. So I think I would not take Mahomes MVP as a proxy for Chiefs money line this year. I think if you like the Chiefs to win, just bet that, and then you know you can have a good laugh when you know Travis Kelce's up there, and every single story about the Super Bowl is has a Kelce spin.
I'm starting a writing campaign for Mecole Hardman.
He deserves it.
Drew, what is your? You might not have an answer for this. What is your like the bet of the Super Bowl? What has been your? Is it just the 49ers covering?
No. Well, I mean, I like that. I like that bet, but it's getting steamed to oblivion. So apologies. Brock Purdy, they opened his attempts at 31.5. That's not right. It's not correct. I guess it should be 27. I have no idea why that's so high.
Well, the game would have to go off the rails.
It would have to go off the rails.
The 49ers would have to be underdogs.
Honestly, for that to happen, like, okay, so context here. Purdy has only gone over 31 pass attempts three times in his career. A lot of those were wildly negative game states, like the Ravens game on Christmas, like the Packers game in the playoffs. And so you kind of need a weird outlier game state anyway to get him in that ballpark. And then you add to this the idea of the likelihood that the rushing attack is successful for the Niners. You add to this the likelihood that Kyle Shanahan continues his somewhat conservative tendencies since the Jimmy G era and the Purdy era in playoff moments. Like, Shanahan is a run heavy dude. Like, he is not inclined to let his quarterback lose him a game.
No.
And so it's somewhat absurd for me to try to rationalize, like, Shanahan coming into this one and being like, you know what? Let's let him rip 40 passes from Brock Purdy. Let it rip, buddy.
There's no way.
Like, I just don't see it. Like, no. And to the point where, like, the only thing I'm really kind of concerned about with this one, because this one opened even money. Like, it's gotten steamed to, like, maybe, like, minus 130, minus 140-ish to the under. But the only thing I'm really going to be sweating there is overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Which could I will end the show with, I loved your point last night. You can kind of say this maybe about every Super Bowl, but more than any Super Bowl in recent memory, you were making the point, like, you could pre-record your Monday Reaction podcast. And
two,
like,
of them.
Yeah, you could pre-record both of them. Because, like, when one team wins, it's going to be in an obvious way, probably. When the other, what was your point on that? And, what was your bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, this has nothing to do with the fact that I'll be in Hawaii on Monday. I'm very uninterested in recording a podcast reacting to the Super Bowl. You could pre-record it and just say, Pat Mahomes was a dog again. Duh. Like, you know, it's really that simple. Like, we went, like it was as straight, like, I feel like an idiot. It was as simple as, Mahomes versus Purdy, and I picked the Purdy side for some reason. That's the Chiefs win.
Yeah.
And then the Niners win is the Chiefs were a flawed team. We talked about it all season long. They were the clear third shot to win the AFC on the eve of the playoffs. By the way, they got beat by the Monstars from San Francisco, who are more talented at every position on the field except for the quarterback position. Like,
obviously,
surprise.
They lost by 16.
Obviously, they lost by three scores. So, yeah,
Drew already has those in the can.
Yeah.
You had to mix in a few things. And of course, the Chiefs had that Mecole Hardman fumble. Of course, the 49ers.
Yes, can you believe Valdez Scandling dropped another one, guys? Can you believe it?
Right.
So how about those Pacheco runs? He runs angry.
The Niners won despite four Jake Moody missed field goals.
By the way, I would say hammer the under on those Moody field goals, but you made the point they're going to kick it in. He's one of
they
three.
Love,
in the players,
listen,
so.
Shanahan loves nothing more than to kick the ball on fourth down in the red zone. That's his thing.
He's also a faith demonstrator, I feel like. Yeah. I have faith in my guy.
Right.
But we have faith in Drew Dinsick to be so smart, so eye-opening. He has deeply troubled me. He's trying to waver my my Chiefs faith, but check him out every day on Bet the Edge with Jay.
Well, you got extra skin in the game now. Now the Chiefs win. You were right, and I was wrong.
And so I know.
This is now real stakes.
I will be thinking about you a lot on Sunday evening. I'm not. You're in my head. So I will be thinking about you all Sunday evening. Check out Drew every day on Bet the Edge. Check him out Thursday evening for his NFL award show honors watch along. For Drew Dinsick, for Dana Carter, I'm Patrick Daugherty. Thank you for listening and joining us on Radio Row. We'll be back Wednesday.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.